I'd just like to take 15 minutes or so to go over with you the general flow of the meditation instructions during the days that we've had here together. So initially, with regard to the sitting posture, lots of encouragement was given by us to give a bit of extra care to the actual form of the body, and primarily that our straight spine allows and enables energy to flow more easily and freely. And if in the lower part of the back, the hips especially, I just move forward a little bit, it does give that little extra upliftment to the whole trunk of the body, and therefore the spine acts as a background, a pillar, really, of support for the whole body. We then gave encouragement to place the mindfulness on one particular object initially, namely the breath, and to be a very conscious human being and conscious of breathing in and breathing out and having as much access as possible to the inhalation and the exhalation. It's not necessary to focus on any specific point with regard to the body, but in a general way, being aware and conscious of when we're breathing in and experiencing some expansion of the cells, some expansion of the trunk of the body as we breathe in, and equally mindful of the breathing out, and both as a fact and as a metaphor, life is constantly breathing in and breathing out, receiving and giving back, inhaling and exhaling. And for harmony and well-being in life, breath is a very useful practice in itself. There are times in life, sometimes from information, pain, the unexpected, compelling activities, tendencies, whatever, that we really need to connect and reconnect with the breath to keep calm, to keep steady, and not to be caught up in whatever the circumstances. So the mindfulness of breathing is a really wonderful and valuable resource for keeping steady in difficult times. And that might need from us a little bit longer and deeper breath. With the mindfulness of breathing in the sitting posture, it's a practice for what's called both samatha and vipassana. Samatha, meaning it contributes to calmness, to serenity, to steadiness, to stillness, that is the samatha aspect of it. Vipassana, English word, is literally insight, very precise translation. So it's being very, very clear about change. Breath comes and goes. No two breaths are the same. It's being clear about the rising of the body, the expansion and the contraction. It's also learning to see the body as body, not as me, not as myself, not as who I am. Learning to see body as body. With the mindfulness of breathing, it can be useful for some to give a little extra care and attention to the exhalation. Quite often our mind wanders on the exhalation, and then the moment or moments when one breath ends, the out-breath goes out, then there are some moments or a moment before the next in-breath comes in. And again, the mind can easily wander and drift away at those times. So we want to be full of the whole process from the time we start drawing in the air element to the turnaround from the inhalation to the exhalation, and following the whole process through, so that we're very much aware of the beginnings of the breath, the middle of the breath, the end of the breath as the last breath goes out, and it reflects numerous other circumstances in life, which also has a beginning, a middle, and an end. I just want to be clear about that unfolding process. And the breath, and the practice with the breath, both for calmness, that's samatha, both for vipassana, that's clarity about the unfolding process, is very much a feature of mindfulness of breathing. Sometimes during the sitting meditation, you need to conserve some awareness and energy and presence for the last period. So as we engage in the sitting meditation, also it also has a beginning, a middle, and an end to it. And as in other circumstances of life, sometimes we're very slow to begin, lose the focus in the middle, or we start getting restless or agitated towards the end of lots of situations. And it's a very good practice for us in the sitting posture to really give full care and attention to the whole process of sitting at the beginning, in the middle, and how we are in the latter period towards the end. And having that feeling of a process and completing a process. And that can be a real practice for us, especially when there's daydreaming or tiredness or agitation or pain in the body, still endeavouring to keep quietly and in a sustained way with the whole process of the sitting through to the end. Also with the sitting posture, we expanded out our field of attention, and sometimes in that expansion it can go to the whole of the body. Just sitting, total awareness of the body as nature, as elements, maybe at times directing the attention to areas of pain in the body. And as we spoke earlier, this clarity about pain, the unwelcome and the unwanted events of life, that just learning to work with that, using the breathing, plenty of relaxation on the outgoing breath especially can be helpful, just to breathe into the pain, to open the pain up. Pain is a kind of contraction of the cells, it's a pressure on the cells. So if we can just learn to breathe into the pain, see the outer edges, the very center of it, really notice it is changing as well. It's not a solid event. And therefore our practice is not only opening up cellular life, but opening up consciousness at the same time and to the same degree. If, of course, there's too much pressure, too much pain in the body, rather than a reaction, just to see whether we can just move mindfully and slowly. And as human beings, we have a remarkable capacity to work with pain, to deal with pain, and not to be afraid of it, but to really work with it and enter it and contribute to dissolving it. Sometimes in the sitting meditation, the power of the mindfulness, of the observation, and the steadiness is present, and the body isn't experiencing pain. There's just a sense of the whole of the body from the head to the toes. The vibrations of the body, the sensations of the body, the very life and vitality of the body. Again, practice here in terms of the samatha, vipassana, calmness and steadiness and appreciation for that relaxed state of being of the whole body, and vipassana of learning to see the body as not me, not myself, not who I am. It's a false, mistaken identification. And therefore we're changing the way of looking to seeing the body as nature, as organic life, as elements, as expressions of dependent arising circumstances. And that's reducing the I, me, and my grabbing around it. With that awareness of the body as nature, as elements, sometimes one of the elements stands out more than the other. We might really be experiencing the body as the earth element, the solidity of the body, the firmness of the body. We might be experiencing the body as the air element, such as when we breathe in and breathe out. We might be feeling the heat of the body, feeling warm or feeling cold or feeling fever or whatever. Feeling the body as the heat element. You might be feeling the body as the liquid element, the blood running through the veins, sweat, tears emerging or whatever. So it's learning to see the body in a very close, very direct, intimate way as nature, as elements, as belonging to the biology of life, and therefore less holding on to the body, but very much a connection with it, a real intimacy of awareness and appreciation there. And when we take out the I, me and my, there's much less fear of aging, of sickness, of pain, of death, because we're learning to see the body comes from nature. We didn't create it. We can expand out our field of awareness and attention again. And one important aspect of that is the listening. And in the act of listening, it's a real meditation. Of course, for the most part, in the listening, in the meditation hall that takes place, it might be the cough, the movement, the dogs barking, the birds, traffic passing by, the general sounds of the day. It's our practice to just to be able to listen, not to interrupt the listening with the commentary. And therefore there is a clear awareness, a receptivity, and the pure act of listening. And in that pure act of listening, we can listen to life, we can listen to ourselves much more clearly. And it's a real practice. And of course, there are situations, usually every day in our life, where we are listening. And in that listening, if we are steady and clear, we can hear much more, we can sense much more, and we can respond much more skillfully. When the listening stops, tendencies come in, and we're actually talking or referring to the tendencies, and the listening has been cut off. So we engage in a lot of meditation practice on listening as a meditation, both here and in daily life. It's a real meditation. We can use the nature, we can use music, we can use the listening to a talk as a practice in the art and the skill of uninterrupted, caring listening. It's a real practice for us, and this will naturally deepen our relationships, our friendships, our love for each other, because we're totally committed to a practice of listening. And from the deep listening will come wise responses, quite naturally. In the day as well, we've had other periods of the day, all, as has been said here, equally important, the walking meditations. Sometimes it's in that very slow, methodical form of just really slowing down. We're not only slowing down our body, but we're also and equally slowing down the mind. And so often our mind has got too busy. It's too busy because it's overstimulated. There's too much coming in, too many impressions, too much information, too many sounds. The mind, the feelings and the thoughts under this kind of pressure then gets intensified. So we're just learning to create more inner space. One of the very helpful and effective ways for that is mindful, slow walking, in which the foot hardly goes in front of the toes of the other. And that real slowing down slows down the mind as well. And more space can come in the mind, and then there's more receptivity to vipassana, to insight, to calmness, samatha, to receptivity, to feeling really in touch with the moment and equally with ourselves. Similarly, with regard to the standing posture, to really stand, just like the tree stands in the earth, just to really stand and be very steady and very still and feel the deep contact of rooted with the earth, to really experience the whole of the body in the standing posture with the straight spine, and just to feel one's whole life standing on this earth, really experience it. There's nothing to do, nowhere to go, not being driven, no ambition, no doer, just being, just standing and being receptive, feeling the body through, and just see what emerges out of our intuitions, out of the heart, what might emerge out of the thought, which is a fresh thought, something completely new and original and creative. And all of that is possible when there's a lot of deep inner space. The food times, also another important and invaluable meditation. And of course, with so many issues around food, when we hear in this world that there are, what is it, something like 1 billion people who are starving, 1 billion people who are severely overweight, somehow we have to find some real balance in this area. And that relationship to food is in three areas. One is what we eat. Some of us are vegetarians. We don't eat animals, birds, or fish. And some people come on retreats and love the nutrition of the diet here and elsewhere, and without making a great deal of fuss, just quietly make that shift over to such a diet. So we give consideration to what we eat, but also giving consideration to where the food comes from. As much as possible, if possible, paying a little bit more for organic food. Just having more consciousness about food. It's a real important practice. Secondly, is the amount that we eat, and just giving consideration to that, so that there's the opportunity for the food to convert itself easily into energy. And the third, and equally important, is the taste of the food. And that really means mindfulness and appreciation and real conscious attention. We tend to overeat or eat quickly or speedily because the mind is busy about something else. And then the natural taste buds are neglected. So to eat mindfully, consideration to what we eat, it's consideration to the amount that we need appropriate for us, and also to give consideration to the way of the eating, and to really taste the food, chew the food, feel the food in the tongue. By the time we swallow the food, it may be almost liquid by the time we swallow. And if we just do that practice, we'll have a very loving and caring and relaxed relationship with food, instead of so many worries and projections and fears and fantasies and discomfort around it. So we give consideration to the sitting posture, the walking, the standing, the reclining posture, sometimes in the day or in the night when we can't sleep, just to really rest. So even if we don't drop into sleep, if there's no pressure upon ourselves, it can be a real lovely meditation in itself. And sometimes in the middle of the night, there in the silence of the night, just to wake up and be totally still and just aware of life in its silence. And knowing that much of the hemisphere and the whole region is very still and very, very quiet as human beings sleep. And just to rest in that stillness and silence is very precious and very beautiful. And it may be that through that relaxation in that rest, we naturally drift into the sleep there. So if we apply as our practice, as our Dharma exploration, the sitting meditations and the walking, the standing and the reclining, the relationship with food, the listening to each other, listening to oneself, listening to the nature. All of this really nourishes our life. We really develop as a human being. We can sense in lovely and precious ways our remarkable potential, our infinite possibilities for us. And our practice is intended to be and is a real contribution in that direction. So let's have a little sitting meditation together.